received the blessing from the Father. When his Father gave him that blessing, God was going to honor that blessing. God was honoring and looking ahead to something that Jacob probably couldn't see, probably couldn't even fathom what was coming down the road. And all Jacob said is, if God is with me, I'm going to give my life to him. And he vowed a vow, and he went out on his way. God wasn't waiting for him to be good to bless. How wonderful is a God that sees us in the state that we're in, who looks down upon us and wants to bless us anyway.
Right.
He sees our attitudes. He sees our fights. He sees our wars within. He sees our temptations. He sees our failures. Every bit of who we are, God sees us and says, I want to bless you anyway. I want to do something in your life. I want to change where you're at. I thought it was pretty cool, just as a side topic, in the last Pentecostal, I think it's called the Pentecostal Life now, used to be the Pentecostal Herald. My wife read me a story out of that. It says, when God walked into a bar, he talked about this guy who was working as a bartender. And as she's reading me the story, I thought, I wasn't a bartender, but just the guy's attitude, I thought, man, that sounds exactly like me. Knowing that there's more to life than what you're currently living. Knowing that there's got to be more to life than the bar scene. There's got to be more to life than drinking. There's got to be more to life than drugs. There's got to be more to life than wasting it on all of that stuff. And just having that hunger and that desire for something more. And God steps into that situation and says, there is something more.
Right.
There is something better than where you're at now. And I want to bless your life, and I want to take you out of that life. And this man who had been getting taught Bible studies by a Pentecostal young lady, one night the bar was empty. He was just sitting there, just out there shooting some pool, all alone in the bar. And he just thought, there's got to be more than this. This isn't where I want to be. He hadn't been to church yet, didn't have the Holy Ghost yet, hadn't turned his life around yet. And he says, and then God walked into that bar. So he goes, I didn't see God, but he goes, I could feel the presence. He goes, the next day, he called up and says, I quit. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not going to be a bartender anymore. Got a hold of that girl, said, when's the next church service? He went to church, got the Holy Ghost, got baptized in Jesus' name. And I believe, if I remember correctly, he's now a minister, preaching the gospel to other people. Because God walked into that bar. God said, I see you. I see that hunger that is in you, and I want to bless you. He doesn't wait till we turn our lives around. He's the one that's going to turn our lives around. He's the one that's going to change us. He's the one that's going to move in us. He's the one that's going to alter our course. We don't have to be good for God to bless us with the Holy Ghost. We don't have to do a test or a set of tasks that we need to perform before God says, I will bless you. You got to have a hunger and a desire. A willingness to say, God, I will follow you. God, I will go wherever you lead me. I will do, God, whatever you want me to do. And God says, that's all I ask. He doesn't wait for you to perform it, because he sees what's on the inside. And if you got a hunger and you got a desire, God honors that. And God will bless you for it, and will bless you in that hunger and that desire. But it's when those blessings begin to flow, that's when we need to turn around and say, the Lord is my God, and I will follow him and give our lives to him. We don't do it, we don't follow God so that we can be blessed. And I believe that's why God blesses us even before we start changing, even before we start doing these things, because God, that's who he is. But it's through all of that, it's through salvation that we should say, God, I'll follow you. You forgave me for the things that I've done. You lifted me up out of that miry clay and you set me upon a rock. God, I will follow you. I will heed your word. I will do what you want me to do. When the promise is received, when he pours out that Holy Ghost upon you, when he fills your heart with joy, then changes happen in your life, and desire should begin to flow. We can turn in our Bibles to Joshua chapter 24. And I'm sorry, I've got a few different passages of scripture here that are a little bit lengthy, so bear with me. I was hoping to reduce them, but we don't quite get the full effect. Joshua chapter 24, starting at verse number 1. It says, "And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for the judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood, and led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess him. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them, and afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and he covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt, and you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan, and they fought with you. And I gave them into your hand, that you might possess their land, and I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand." Do you see a trend here? "And I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted, you do not eat. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." Here's a litany of things that God's reminding them. This is what I did for you. This is what I did for your forefathers, for your ancestors that came before. And look at all the times along the way that I blessed. Look at all the times along the way that I was there for you. Look at all the times along the way when I gave the battle into your hands, when you dwell in a land that you didn't even work for. You dwell in cities that you didn't even build, because I gave them to you. Right. And he says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." God says, "I saw you when you were in a pit of despair. I reached for you when everyone else was walking away. When you were going nowhere, I gave you a future. When you felt ugly, I made you beautiful. When you stumbled and fell, I picked you up. When you did not know where to turn, I gave you direction. When the world told you you were worthless, I gave you worth. When you were brokenhearted, I gave you love. When you thought you had failed just one too many times, I forgave you still. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the idols of money or possessions, or the gods of the world in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." God was there for you. God was the one that saw you before you came to this place. God was the one that put it in your mind to say that you need to do something different. He was there to see you in all of your faults. He was there to see you in all of your failures. He was there to see you in all of your hurts and in all of your pains. And he says, "I will be there for you. I will be your rock, and I will be your strength, and I will be everything that you need me to be. And I will turn your life around, and I will bless you. Because that's the blessing of a father. When our children fail, we don't kick them out. We pick them up. When our children disappoint us, it hurts. But we encourage them, and we try to help them. Because that's the blessing of a father or of a mother. We do things all the time that hurt God. And God says, but I still love you. God says, I still forgive you. When we get down on our knees and we ask for that forgiveness. When you look back to all God has done for you, how he's blessed you, how can you turn from the blessings of a father? We can turn now to Luke chapter 15. There's nothing better than the blessings of our Father. I thank him every day for his blessings. I thank him every day for his mercy, for his grace. And it does amaze me some days when I think I'm not worthy. But I know that he gives it still. Luke chapter 15, starting at verse number 11. So he says, and a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks of that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Here was a son who had everything he needed. He had a home. He had a family who loved him. I take a look at that, and I think, father must have had quite a large sum of money. He must have been a wealthy man. And he had it all. And if you don't realize how much that son had in that time, you just take a look at when he came home. And the elder son comes and says, Father, what are you doing? He goes and he takes his inheritance and he runs off and he wastes it. Now he comes crawling back home and you kill the fatted calf. What about me? I was here all along. The father said, exactly. You've had all of this all along. It tells me that they had access to whatever they wanted, whatever they needed in the father's house. They were there with the father, blessed by what the father had done to accumulate his wealth, blessed by whatever he had. However he had gotten to that point. And it's all here for you, my sons. And the younger son wasn't satisfied. I got to be my own man. I got to be my own boss. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I want my inheritance now, and I want to go out, and I want to be on my own. I got it all together. And he didn't have it all together. He found out what it was like to walk away from all of those blessings. Suddenly, he's on his own. Nobody waking him up in the morning to do his chores. Nobody making him do any schoolwork. Nobody making him do anything but, oh, I'm my own man. And when the money ran out, then he realized how alone he was. Suddenly the friends were gone. The people that were hanging around because he had money were gone. My father's house. I had a comfy bed to sleep in. It was warm. I had food in my belly, and now I got to eat with the pigs. And it says, and when he came to himself, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I was turning my back on you, God. I'm sorry I was walking away from you, God. I'm sorry I wasn't listening to your voice, God. God, please forgive me. Please take me back. I'm not worthy after what I've done. And God says, oh, yes, you are. We're not worthy. We're not worthy of everything, anything that God gives us, but God does it anyway. He blesses us anyway. He loves us anyway. When we turn our hearts towards him, when we say, God, you are my everything. You are my all. It's the blessings of a father that protect us. It's the blessings of a father that nourish us. It's the blessings of a father that can bring peace and joy. That's what he had in that house. He had protection. He had that joy being around his family and around his home. And he had a peace knowing that it's all going to be taken care of. I don't need to worry anymore. Living for God isn't a rose garden. But we can trust in God. We've been learning the names of God during our prayer times. And so far, all we've heard about is how big God is and what he can do in our lives. Because there's nothing that is impossible to him. He'll protect us and he will watch over us and he will keep us. Because that is the blessing that comes from the Father. He came to himself, said, and I will arise and I will go to my Father. And I'll say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. And I am not worthy to be called thy son. Just make me a servant. And the Father says, no son of mine is going to be a servant. No son of mine is going to have that low position. You're coming back into my house. You're coming back into the position that you walked away from. You probably thought I could still receive some of the blessings. They may not have been what I once had, but they'll be there waiting for me. You see, even though he walked away, even though he turned his back, deep down he knew, my Father's house will be open. My Father's house, I can go back. And even though he wasn't intending to go back into his position, that's where his Father put him. Put that robe back on him. My son, which was dead, is now alive. The Father didn't have to chase after him. Father didn't have to go looking for him. But he was there waiting for him to come back. The last one I have tonight is Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. We're going to start reading there at verse number 1. It says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee, and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt thou be the fruit, shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in. Blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all thou that hast settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, and in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto the fathers to give thee. And the Lord shall open thee his good treasure in the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thy hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou that hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command to thee this day, to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. Key word in there is blessed. If you follow after, if you hearken to these words, you will be blessed. If you look into the Word of God, say, God, if there's anything in here for me, I need it. And you will be blessed. I urge you to read the rest of that chapter. Because the first 14 verses talks about the blessings that come from obedience. There is 68 verses. 14 verses on what's going to happen to you if you obey. The rest are what happened to you when you don't. And I'll leave it to you to read the rest. I'm here to tell you tonight that there are blessings in abundance from serving Jesus, for surrendering to his will. Jacob experienced those blessings firsthand in the 32nd chapter of Genesis. We find where God removes the stigma of supplanter and is changed to Prince of God when the angel tells him he is no longer to be called Jacob, but now Israel. All those years serving under Laban, all those years from the time he left his father's house, all those years later that he finds himself going home, and he said, if God will bring me home in peace. And what did he do? As he's going home, he's worried. Oh, Esau is there. What am I going to do when I see Esau? I know, I'm going to send him gifts. Send all of this ahead. Give this. You tell him that this is a gift from his brother. And he sends all of this stuff. And when he finally meets up with Esau, Esau's going, what's with all the stuff? Well, that's for you, my brother. No, I don't need it. It's all yours. No longer angry, no longer bitter, because God brought him home in peace. God blessed him that one last time. Well, probably not the last time. But God's blessings were upon him. It all started with the blessing from his father. When his father put his hand upon him and told him the blessing that was going to befall him. And it all came to pass. He made a covenant with God, said, God, I will serve you. God, I will give my life to you. God, I will do what you want me to do. And all through his life, God was there with him. God was there blessing him. God was there making a way. God was there lifting him up above those that were around him. Even when they would come against him, God was there to still help him to prosper. I'm here to tell you tonight that blessings of God are real. I know I've shared this many times before, but I know that I would not be where I am in my career if it wasn't for God. I know that it's God's hand that got me where I am. Going nowhere in life, going to the bars, drinking, doing all the things I shouldn't have been doing. And one day, God, there's got to be more to life than this. And that voice that came in, you need to try going to church. You know what, God? I think you're right. God blessed me with a beautiful wife, a beautiful daughter, and a beautiful church. God allowed his hand to be upon me. Has every day been great? Wonderful? No issues? No problems? No, I'm not going to stand here and tell you that. Have I arrived? No, I haven't arrived. But I strive for that day to stand before God, knowing that his hand was upon me all along the way. Before I even came to God, before I even knew who God was, his hand was upon me and blessed me and kept me safe. And God has, I'm sure, has done that for others. There's blessings from the Father. All we have to do is say, God, I'm yours. Do with me what you will. Mold me. Shape me. Walk with me. And the blessings from the Father will be abundant in your life. As we stand together tonight, God doesn't wait for us to be, he definitely doesn't wait for us to be perfect, because we'll never be there until we stand before him. God doesn't wait for us to be good before he begins to bless us. But as he starts blessing you and you start giving more of yourself to him, he'll bless you more and more and more. Malachi talks about blessings from God that will fill the storehouses that can't contain the blessings when you give your all to him, when you're obedient to him, when you do what he wants you to do. All you get is blessing in return. Let's just talk to God for a little bit tonight. I urge you to say, God, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do, God? Speak to me tonight. Talk to me tonight. Help me to be obedient to you, Lord.